Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Focus Podcast. I am Singing Lisa, Lisa Phillips to be exact, and I'm excited to be able to provide a platform where we can learn a lot of great information about important topics. And, you know, right now in our city, in our world, a lot is going on, and I'm very honored to have as my guest today Dr. Shiva Akula, who is practicing in infectious disease, and he is here to shed light on a lot of information that we, of course, need to know. He graduated from Osmania Medical College, Osmania University, also in 1979, completed his residency at Advocate Illinois Masonic Medical Center in Chicago, Illinois, and completed infectious disease fellowship at Stanford and Tulane University. So it is my honor to have you here, Doctor. Thank you so much for being here. And of course, we're talking about the topic, I guess, of the year now is COVID-19. And so a lot of questions have been asked, a lot of answers have been given, but it's a moving situation and that we're facing here. And so we want to first start off by, you know, let's educate everybody again. What exactly is COVID-19?
It's a viral disease, just like a common cold. Coronaviruses are something that it's not that we don't know them. We've had several species of coronaviruses that we check, and a lot of them cause very similar symptoms like flu. And COVID-19 is a new coronavirus. That's why it's called novel COVID virus. And the attributes and the symptoms and all other information are very unknown. And so thereby, you get a lot of information that has been sent on a daily basis. And essentially, this is a pandemic of my lifetime, all of our lifetime.
Yes.
And never heard about a pandemic in my, you know, I've heard about the historic names, but a flu pandemic, but this is the first one. And it just started last year in December. So this is only a 4 months old virus.
Just, and it's yes.
Called such a devastation.
It is, and so very quickly, and I think that's what's caught everyone off guard, the fact that it's moving so quickly, not only through China, which we were all watching, but now we're involved because it's moving so quickly throughout the United States, throughout our world. And so many people want to know exactly, you know, what is going on, what can we do? We've been given a very quick education on how to best take care of ourselves and our loved ones and our friends and coworkers, and I mean, we're all in this large family together, and so we've had a lot to learn very quickly. But let me ask, I guess, one question that many may want to know. Since it's only 4 months old, were there any signs that we could have seen or that we did not pay attention to as a nation that may have given us a better advantage right now?
That's a very important question, simply being that original pandemic started in Wuhan City in China, where there is a large market where they sell the live animals, and that's where, you know, they predict maybe a human transmission from an animal came up. And there are a lot of theories about bat versus pangolins, but it seems to be clear that it originated in the city of Wuhan. And ever since that, the original part of the epidemic or pandemic now has been completely in China, with isolated cases in different parts of the world, especially, you know, Iran, Italy, South Korea, and others. And unfortunately, the current trend is that there is a deceleration of these numbers in China, and most of the new infections are happening other than China, especially in Italy, where they see that, you know, Italy as the epic center of this infection, COVID-19, from Europe. Mm. And here we see the president close the borders from flying, you know, from Europe into the United States. So, and then there's a large focus in Iran. Mm-hmm. And sadly, because of the sanctions, that we don't hear much about it as to what's going on there. So it is essentially has pretty much took 80% of the country, different countries in the whole world. So it is a serious epidemic, and I'm not sure exactly what we could have learned, but unfortunately, we may have been a bit complacent initially, because it didn't affect us.
Yes.
And all of a sudden that we had a group of nine people, nursing home residents that died in Seattle, and that kind of really shook the whole country by storm.
Yes.
And thereby it just, there's several theories as to there is a widespread coronavirus in this whole country. And very interestingly, the nursing home cluster started after a Mardi Gras party, where they were all swinging, second line, when the saints. And sadly, nine of them died. And now actually the toll of nursing homes in Seattle has been like 16. That's what I heard last. It is possible that I think initially we may have thought that it is contained only to China. And they were doing pretty good job in containing the residents because of this communist philosophy that they took strict measures, which I'm not sure if he did that initially. And but at the same time, and I want to give a positive note, that 97% of the 160,000 people that were infected are still living.
And that's definitely good news, because we are definitely wanting that to be the outcome for everyone.
Absolutely.
And that is unfortunately what we've been seeing, the unfortunate loss of life as a result of this unknown and really understood virus, because it's been said that the virus actually is number 19, so it actually may have already existed, or it's a family of viruses. So
actually COVID-19 is because of it started in 2019. And there's a other name for that, but this is a COVID-19 is a newer name. And the interesting features of it is seems to be not a single virus, that there are several species of it.
Yes.
So they're trying to learn this, that would segue into the what is going to be done. And they're actually looking at vaccine development. And there's a lot of rapidity, seriousness, and excitement. And an opportunity.
It has brought a lot out, and we've been hearing a lot in, of course, the news. Of course, everyone glued to 24-hour television, and social media is just giving us all of the possible answers that we can hear from many, many sources. But we know that the CDC and many other reliable sources are keeping us as informed as possible. So as we learn more about COVID-19, one of the things we've learned locally is that each state is handling its circumstances accordingly to their guidelines. But for us right here in Louisiana, we have been taking those measures to close a lot of all of the schools and to shut down places that where many people frequent, because it seems obviously since people are the carriers, we need to reduce the amount of opportunity for that to happen. So I think that we are in the right direction, would you agree, in reducing the number of gatherings and events that would obviously make this more easily spreadable to everyone.
I agree. I think most of the management of this pandemic is containment, social distancing. I could not imagine how we would have dealt with this COVID-19 if there was no social media and we were told to stay home.
Yes.
Just imagine that. It's a very, it's a blessing for us to have Facebook, Twitter, and all this exciting social media and the internet.
Yes, technology is helping to make a big difference in all of this.
People are searching the web in millions and millions because they got nothing else to do.
Yeah, and lots of people at home now.
They're searching some very interesting questions, like if coronavirus has something to do with drinking Corona beer.
I saw that. I thought about that.
So it's only a search and excitement, but there is no connection between the beer and the coronavirus. And unfortunately, coming back to the what needs to be done in terms of containment, mm-hmm. social distancing, where you need to avoid large groups.
Yes.
And essentially that there is some guidelines that are being issued on a pretty mm-hmm. much on a daily basis. They're mm-hmm. withholding large concerts mm-hmm. and large sports events and others. So there is a federal guidelines that are coming down, and the state is issuing its own guidelines on a almost on a daily basis.
Yes, we're learning a lot daily and even hourly, especially with social distancing. A lot of people are saying, what is that? And we're learning about the 6-foot rule, so we're probably breaking the rule right now. But, you know,
it is possible, but
yes,
the issue is if somebody has a criteria that mm-hmm. meets what is called as the person under investigation, mm-hmm. PUI.
Okay.
So that if they have had exposure to or travel to China,
yes.
Italy, or Iran, or South Korea, or Japan, mm-hmm. or they've had a patient that they took care or managed, and they came in a direct contact of 6 foot, where there is a droplet, as you know, a patient's coughs, sneezes, these droplets go and settle on the face and the nose, and thereby, you know,
entering
you
the
inhale,
lung.
And then first, you know, system that's going to be affected is the lungs.
So let me ask you, so that our audience can really feel comfortable with the information we have as the latest, all of the practices we've been given, is that what is best to help us protect ourselves? The washing of the hands for 20 seconds and all of the guidelines. Is there a special mask that somebody can wear, or should they not be bothered with a mask but more of the cleanliness aspect?
Hand washing has been a very historically developed technique by Dr. Semmelweis in Austria, where mothers were delivering in Austrian hospital were dying at a rate of 15%. Mm-hmm. And the patients were delivered by the doctors and healthcare workers. Plus, you know, the midwives clinic had only like 3% mortality. And he thought the best thing to do, this was a time where we did not know the germ was the cause of bacteria, virus, and all this stuff. So he advocated hand washing in bleach because he thought the disease was spread by the bad air, just like malaria. Mm-hmm. So that actually dropped the infection rate from 15% to less than 0.5%.
Wow.
And that has been the tradition of hand washing that is carried on even now, that holds good. And the CDC recommends you sing song like happy birthday mm-hmm. to you, but of mm-hmm. course we can just see, you know, at least 20 seconds, maybe
sure.
30 seconds.
Yes.
So hand washing is definitely very, very important. In terms of the mask, the CDC does not recommend anybody to just keep walking around the street with a mask. And in terms of the recommendations for the mask is for the people that care for COVID-19 patients or highly suspicious of COVID-19 while they're waiting for the testing to come up. Mm. Other than that, you know, people are kind of, and then some hospitals are coming up with their own regulations. In mm-hmm. fact, you know, if a hospital has a large cluster of COVID-19, they're asking a person to wear the mask, you know, all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So it is each individual's discretion,
yes.
But there is Center for Disease Control does not recommend a mask to be worn by anybody that's not caring for COVID-19 or
yes.
personal investigation for COVID-19.
Very good to clear that up. And the other good part is that we know, as you mentioned before, that a vaccine is being developed at rapid pace, but even that is a year out from actually being
Absolutely.
Accepted to actually be distributed as an official vaccine. So, but the work is happening very quickly. The websites are going up very quickly. Everything is moving at the rate that technology is allowing it to. And that is definitely, as you said, to our advantage. One other thing that we want to also mention is that many people now are going to be home. And so what is the recommendation that you give for families? Because now they're having to be in one place with all of the family, with all of the daily activities that usually would happen, and they're having to sort of change their new normal now is to just figure out what to do at home. What's your advice for those that are trying to maybe just learn how to better care for each other in that one, you know, setting?
The basic hygienic rules about hand washing: cover your cough, don't touch the face, the nose, the mouth, and if you do that, no, wash your hands immediately. If somebody has potential symptoms of COVID-19, they need to be placed in a separate room, and they should be able to kind of distance themselves from the other part of the family members. And essentially, these are the things that...
I am learning also that we are being advised to, as far as hospitals, to maybe not rush to the hospital because of the overwhelming response that may be necessary. Some may not be as critical as others. Some may actually not be have contacted anything, but out of their concern, they're going to the ER. And I've heard a lot of different scenarios where the ER is sending them to urgent care, and they're back and forth with where to go and what to do. So it seems as though making a phone call to your doctor, as yourself, is the best way to find out which direction to follow first, and then to, from there, make the best decisions.
Absolutely. This is the reason why in some hospitals, especially the West Jeff Hospital, where I went and saw the patients this morning, they actually had a triage, like a cars lined up as a drive-through screening.
Yes.
So essentially, they were able to screen these patients for potential testing and deal them outside the hospital.
Yes.
So that way, the emergency room is left for the real emergency, medical emergencies.
And I believe that's going to be a great help to really make this process go faster and more efficiently. It's almost like when Ash Wednesday came, everybody was driving up and getting ashes. And so now we're driving up and we're getting tested. So it's becoming very effective and efficient, and it's really for the better good of everyone. And so we are really appreciative for you taking the time to answer questions that many of us may have. And what we want to share is other good news that we will be coming back to you on a weekly basis to share the latest information on COVID-19 and what is happening with our city and our state and what we can do to better take care of each other. So do look out for one another. And let me say again, Dr. Akula, it's been a pleasure. I'm not going to shake your hand, but I'm going to definitely say thank you.
I just said namaste.
Yes. For taking the time to be with us and share this very important information. And everyone, thank you for sharing. We want to give you an email address because we do realize that with all that is changing, you may have questions. So we want to let you know that you can send your questions to mail@akulafoundation.com. And you can send your questions, your concerns there, and we will forward them to the doctors so that they can be addressed and maybe included in the next podcast. So once again, it is mail@akulafoundation.com. Thank you to everyone. I am Lisa Singing Lisa Phillips, and until next time, take care and stay focused.